Your Bibles to Acts chapter 5. We're looking at verses 1 through 11 at the moment, and we're going to complete that this morning before we go to the Lord's table. And if you're new with us, the ushers would like to give you a copy of our message notes. They're filled in up to the point that we left off last Sunday so that you can join in and be a part of this study, because one of our core values is biblical teaching and training. And we are excited about the breath of God, His speaking to us. So I hope that you're ready. I hope you're ready. You know, last week I asked you, to smile, because all of you have that serious Christian look on your face. You look like you have the flu, but you need to smile. You're in one of the places where Jesus Christ is going to be honored today, and is being honored. So this is a time to rejoice. This is a time to, if you haven't already, to quickly share with the Lord. I want to hear what you have to say to me, because He has a word for you as an individual. If you came here today and you have a spouse, He has a word for the two of you, as well as you lead your families. He doesn't leave anybody out. He has something for those of us that are sick, those of us that are well, those of us that are cuckoo. He has something to say to each of us. So I just want to encourage you, because we're looking at, will you follow Barnabas or Ananias and Sapphira? And before we get into that, I want to share with you a story. Maybe you read it yourself. It's about the $40,000 funeral. $40,000. It said, Fred died. He provided $40,000 in an elaborate funeral in his will. As the last guest departed the affair, his wife Sharon turned to her oldest and dearest friend and said, "Well, I'm sure Fred would be pleased." "I'm sure you're right," said Brenda, who lowered her voice and then leaned in real close to Sharon. "How much did it really cost?" And she said, "It cost $40,000. "No, no, no," she exclaimed. "I mean, it was very nice, but $40,000? Sharon answered, "The funeral was $6,500. I donated $500 to the church. And the wine and the snacks and the whiskey was another $500. And the rest went to a memorial stone." And Brenda computed very quickly, $32,500 for a memorial stone? What does this memorial stone look like? Would you show that, please? You know, what Sharon was sharing with Brenda was the same thing that Ananias and Sapphira was sharing. The truth, but not the whole truth. Write this down in your notes. It's not in your message notes. Proverbs 12:22. And then write down also Proverbs 20, verse 7. In Proverbs 12, Solomon, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he shares with us, the Lord detests lying lips. He detests liars. And then he said, but. And but for me oftentimes is an erasure to what was said before. Because here comes the encouragement. Though he detests lying lips, he delights in those who tell the truth. He delights in those who tell the truth. Good to see you, Gary. All right. In Proverbs 20, the psalmist, he says, the godly walk with integrity. godly walk with integrity. Blessed are their children who follow them. Ananias, as we have learned in our study, he has a wonderful name. Wonderful name. God is gracious. And Sapphira, beautiful. Beautiful. That's what it means. You know, when my oldest daughter's daughter was born, her oldest daughter, Alina, for years, she's 13 now, I would call her Sarah, because she was into all these Disney princesses. There must be a dozen of them. And Sarah in Hebrew means princess. She was a little princess. Sapphira, I suspect, probably was beautiful to behold and beautiful to listen to. You know, it seems that it's just the pretty people get on television in the movies, right? We'll look at them, and if you just get some plain John up there, you know, it's not quite the same. But our Heavenly Father was so very gracious, both to Sapphira and to Ananias. He drew them both into his family. He made them his son and his daughter. But yet they did something that strongly disappointed him. If you turn to page 4 of your notes, you'll notice that on page 3 we had entered into the sub-study of our text, the compromise and deception punishment that was meted out by our Lord upon Ananias and Sapphira. They were walking in the flesh, living without being filled with God the Holy Spirit. They were living that life of debauchery that we looked at last week in Ephesians in chapter 5, verse 18. You and I are to follow after the Ephesian church family that was given this sweet, wonderful command to be filled afresh every day with God the Holy Spirit, to manifest his character qualities. And we really need the supernatural infilling, a freshness. The Holy Spirit is there, but we need to be cognizant of his presence in our lives. You see, where our focus goes, our energy flows. Would you say that with me? Where our focus goes, our energy flows. And our focus needs to be on Jesus. And if our focus when we first thing in the morning when we get up begins to be on him, then not only will our physical energy begin to flow in that direction, but the Holy Spirit will begin to flow in that direction to help us to keep our focus on him. Family, our moving forward in this passage has an ultimate purpose. And the ultimate purpose for us, I truly believe, having spent so much time with our Lord, is that our ultimate purpose is to find ourselves prizing our Lord Jesus Christ above everyone and everything else. To prize him, to seek the supremacy of Jesus Christ in our lives over and above everyone and everything. That means I am to seek him over Kathy. I am to seek him and prize him over my children. I am to seek and prize him over, yes, even my grandchildren. I am to seek and to prize him over my career. am to seek and prize him over every single one of you. He is supposed to be first. He's the one that we are supposed to be after. So we have learned that Ananias and Sapphira made a major mistake. And I brought you to the point last Sunday, there on page 5 of your notes, looking at examples of Ananias' sin. Looking at it today in the 21st century. You see, most wrong living comes out of wrong thinking. Let me say that again. Most of our wrong living comes out of wrong thinking. Jesus calls us to a radical purity. It's not radical from looking at it in the scriptures, but it is radical when you look at it in terms of our culture. When you consider the world and however it may define purity. We are to be those adopted kids. We are the adopted sons and daughters of the one true, most high God. And we are to walk in the light. We sang a bit about that today. That was part of our musical prayer to the Lord. But what do we mean by that as we walk in the light? We are to be living the truth of Jesus Christ. People are to see in us that we are walking in the light, children of the light. We are manifesting the very characteristics that are communicable to human beings by our Heavenly Father. So we need right thinking to produce right living. So our focus needs to be on Jesus, seeking the supremacy of him. If the church in America really did that, if you and I were truly seeking him first in all things, can you imagine what your life would be? How different it might be? I can imagine how different my life would be. Because I'd like to say that you can follow my example, but please don't. Follow me, as Paul said, as I follow Christ, but don't follow me as Ron follows the flesh. Looking at your notes, examples of Ananias' sin today include producing the impression we are people of prayer when we are not. Oh, I'm going to pray for you. What you just shared with me, you know, in our supper six, I'm going to be praying for you. What you shared with me in the hallway, you know, last Sunday church, I'm going to be praying for you. And then the next Sunday shows up, or the next shepherd group, oh, gee, I didn't pray for you. Oh, God. Lord, are you going to be so? There, I did it. Did you? Really? No. You're giving the impression that you could be trusted. Another Ananias sin for today would be making it look like we all look like we have it all together when we don't. Another would be promoting the thought that we are generous when we are so tight we squeak when we write a check, especially to the church. An example of Ananias' sin today would include distorting our spiritual effectiveness. Oh man, I was out there sharing the gospel. You would have thought that I was Billy Graham today, you know. When a preacher urges his people toward deeper devotion to Jesus, suggesting that his life is an example when he knows it is not. When he does that, he is repeating Ananias' sin. When an evangelist calls people to holy living, but is secretly having an affair with his secretary, or as one of the televangelists, as we were hearing so much about in the news, who was hiring prostitutes. When he does that, he is an Ananias. This gives us all a lot to think about, doesn't it? If we dare. Just a thought, and here's your fill-in. There was a much better way open to Ananias. He could have said, "Peter, Sapphira and I were going to give all the proceeds from the sale of our land, but we decided to keep some of it back for our own needs." That would have been simple. We would like to do the same as Barnabas did, but we do not feel that we can at this time. That would have been quite all right. If they had been honest, Abba Father would have used, I believe, would have used and multiplied what they did give, like he did the loaves and the fishes. Because it would have been given out of a pure heart. A heart of joy. A heart of love for our gracious Savior. Looking at your notes, spiritual deception is atrocious to Jesus. When we lie to our church family, we are not lying to them. We are lying to the Lord himself. We're lying to him. Ananias was in his grave when Sapphira showed up. Verses 7 through 11, follow along as I read it to you. After an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter said to her, "Tell me, whether you sold the land for so much?" And she said, "Yes, for so much." And Peter said to her, How is it that you have agreed together with your husband to test not me?" There's no point in thinking you might be lying to me. I'm just a guy. But you've been lying to the Spirit of the Lord. "Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." Immediately, at that very moment, on the spot, right then and there, she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. When the young men came in, they found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And megaphobos, remember that word phobos, terror, major astonish, amazement, and terror came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things. Imagine the effect this would have on the church. Think about it. Many knew this couple. It's like in our supper sixes and seven and eight, nine and tens. We're getting to know each other. People had gotten to know Ananias and Sapphira. They're all new believers. The church isn't a year old yet. And here they know this couple, and they have died, and at the hands of our Heavenly Father. Ananias and Sapphira have suffered judicial judgment. Someone was saying, you know, I'm sure glad he doesn't do that today. And I said, really? I think we dismiss a lot of things that are happening today because we just chalk it off to, I don't know, it's life or something. But remember, I read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll again, as we come to the Lord's table, we need to examine ourselves because he said, some of you are weak, and some of you are sick, and some of you have died because we have made a mockery of the Lord's name by eating the bread, drinking the cup in an unworthy manner. The Holy Spirit points out through Luke, once again, there was great fear in the church. And so there should have been. And along with it, I'm sure there must have come a lot of soul searching. Moments, maybe long moments of prayer. Am I like Ananias? Are you like Sapphira? Action step, here's your fill-in. We must not take the unbending holiness and judgment of our Heavenly Father lightly. And that is, I know I did it for a number of years as a younger Christian. No one sat down and really told me, and I wasn't really being a student of the Word and wanting to absorb it and to meditate upon it. Taking him lightly in his holiness. You see, that's not seeking the supremacy of Christ in my life. And if you're not, it's the same thing. You see, we are derelict in our devotion to him. What if such a thing happened today? Can you imagine? I was going to use Eugene, but I won't do that to him. I'll use myself. Can you imagine after I finish sharing some things with you that are not true and all of a sudden I keel over dead? I mean, can you try in your mind's eye picture something like that taking place? What would that cause you to begin thinking, doing? How would you begin moving in your seat? I mean, my prayer before the Lord, I've shared it on other occasions, is that he will speak through me and deliver to you the greatest message that I have ever had the wonderful joy of giving you. And at the end of it, he calls me home. But I'd surely not like to do it the way Ananias and Sapphira went out. Peter confronted Ananias and Sapphira about their heart's deception. So as you look at your notes, you see that I've had this printed for you. Very serious questions. And I am very serious about those questions. I know they struck me as serious. Ananias and Sapphira's story is a call to confront ourselves. It is to hold up that spiritual mirror in front of our faces and to look into it. Do I practice spiritual compromise and or deception? Yes or no? And as you hold that mirror up to your face this morning, family, remember that God the Holy Spirit is in you. He is here. And as we answer the question, we would not be lying simply to ourselves. If we're not true, we'll be lying to him. So be honest. Be honest. Do I practice spiritual compromise and or deceit? Second of all, do I attempt to make others think that I am more committed to our Lord and His church than I am? Yes or no? He's watching over us. The Holy Spirit's living in us. I suspect He's speaking in every heart and mind right now that is truly born again in this worship center. How do I answer that? Yes? Or do I fall short? No. These are serious questions. Action step. Possibly the Holy Spirit is calling us to confront another believer, as Peter did. Nathan did the same thing, the King David. And I hope you will really take the passage to heart and go look at it later today. Read the whole chapter. The whole book wouldn't hurt. But at least this chapter in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 7. Because Samuel went to David, the king, the one that if he didn't like what you had to say, he could have you drawn and quartered. He could send your body parts all over the kingdom. At the very least, throw you in the prison. But he goes to King David and he says, "Thou art the man." Thou art the man what? Some of us are asking. Thou art the adulterer. Thou art the murderer. Thou art the thief. He was a prophet, the voice of the living God in David's life. And David repented and confessed his sin. Going on with your action step then, we must help each other. Remain honest and obedient to Jesus, for then you will know, and I will know, that we love Him. Paul wrote the Galatian church family, write this down, chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Take heed, listen. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of get right in his face and point your big pointing finger in his nose. That isn't what he says. You confront him with gentleness. Gentleness. Keep watch over yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And what is the law of Christ? To love one another exactly as He has loved you. Luke tells us here in verse 11 again, great fear came upon the whole church and all who heard these things. They began to honestly evaluate, assess what our Lord wanted of them and where they stood right now in their young spiritual lives. Do you see what I see here? Do you see a divine action step that He is asking the first church to do and the 21st century church as well? You know, some of us have forgotten that faith without works is dead. Some of us say we have faith, but we don't see the Spirit of God actively involved in our lives. Because those of us that are truly born again, he makes clear to all of us, I created you in Christ Jesus for good works that I prepared before you even existed, that you should live them out for my glory and for my honor. You are the light of the world. Let people see you doing good works that I may be glorified, he said. Again, to be those children walking in the light, manifesting the attributes of Christ. Verses 12 through 16, we will begin next Sunday. And there we will see the recorded continuance of this mega power, this gracious mega power manifesting itself in remarkable and wonderful ways as the church continues to expand, not only numerically, but geographically. Look at your notes. Here's your fill-in. When the church is great, when you as an individual are great, with great unity, great grace, great power, and great care, it is preserved by great honesty. Family, you and I must keep our spiritual lives clear of compromise and deception. This demands some practical steps. First, we should take an honest look at our lives regarding deceit. Are we truthful people? Do we engage in exaggeration and the coloring, embellishing things that we say to other people? Are we promoting spiritual deception about our own commitments? Are we trying to outwardly or subtly to make ourselves appear to be what we are not? Perhaps to acquire objectivity, you'll want to sit down and ask those questions or ask your spouse to read those questions and then answer truthfully. And remember, you do this kindly, gently. Or maybe you want to ask your parents, or maybe you want to even ask your children, a friend that you can trust. The second practical step here is honestly lay the results before our Heavenly Father. Repent of all the sins that are manifested, that come forth, that you are told or you figure out on your own, relying on his grace. Ask him to remove habits of deception so that the truth becomes a habit instead. And thank him when you have not compromised your integrity or spoken lies. Third, agree that with the Holy Spirit's help, you will consciously keep yourself from lying and in all its forms and will repent immediately on the spot from any failure in this area. I'm going to ask you something that immediately I know a few of you are going to simply say, not out loud, you're going to say it in your mind, or you might say it to me at the back door, I can't memorize. All right, maybe two of you can't memorize. I like what Billy Sunday said, you know, about excuses. He said it was a reason stuffed with a lie. Family, these things that the Holy Spirit has asked me to share with you is of the utmost importance, because remember what I said earlier, that he made clear to me that he wants each of you and me to prize Jesus Christ above everything else. To move away from the playing of church to actually being the receptacle that the Holy Spirit manifests his life in and touches the lives of other and leads 3 to faith in Christ and 4 to hear the gospel in its entirety. That we be the ones that really see what we have acquired by appropriating this wonderful sin bearer, wrath bearer, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, into our lives. So look here. Please own and memorize this, because he wants you to embrace this. Having listened to what Ananias is like, that can become a little depressing. And listening to what Sapphira joined Ananias in, likewise, that can be depressing. But the last thing our Heavenly Father wants of his children is to walk around in long faces and to feel like they're depressed. He has taken care of our sins through the work of Christ upon the cross. There is now no condemnation upon any of his sons or daughters. None whatsoever. And his love, it has not been withdrawn. Maybe you've stepped back, but his love stepped with you. He doesn't withdraw his love. We do that kind of thing when people disappoint us, but he doesn't. He works with us unconditionally. We have been sanctified. He has called us, sanctified us, and as far as he is concerned, positionally, if I can use that term, and hopefully we can all understand that, right now, as in the future, he sees us as justified, glorified. So we can walk with our heads up. And we spiritually breathe when we do act like Ananias or Sapphira. And we manifest to other people we're not doing any horrendous sins, when in point of fact we are. We need to go to our erring brothers and sisters. It may be your own girlfriend, your own boyfriend, your own husband, your own wife, your own mother, your own father, your own children. But he wants us to go to one another and gently, this needs to stop. You need to confess and repent. And as we look here, I want you to repeat these things with me, okay? I'm going to go on bite sizes, but I really want you to own this, because these are his words, not mine. I've just kind of put them all together from studying the word. But the first thing I want you to say is, I am a child of the Most High God, okay? I am a child of the Most High God. Now, that's good. Now let's say it like you really mean it, okay? I am a child of the Most High God. Now emphasize the word I, all right? I am a child of the Most High God. I will love him preeminently and unreservedly as he does me. Do you see that? I will love him preeminently and unreservedly. I'm going to seek my God's best and highest good at my expense, because I'm seeking the supremacy of him in all things. Let's move on. I will not forget. No weapon formed against me will succeed. Let's read that again. I didn't have enough of you. Okay, join the train. Even if you don't believe it this morning, I guarantee you by the time you finish reading this a couple dozen times over the course of the coming week, you will see yourself as Jesus sees you. And then you will prize him. The church needs to prize its Savior and its Lord. So let's read again. I will not forget, no weapon formed against me will succeed. For I am more than a conqueror as I walk in the Holy Spirit. Yes, now don't forget that. It is walking. It is living in the Holy Spirit. Let's continue. The Holy Spirit has anointed me, favored me, wonderfully equipped and empowered me to do this and please him. Now, that's the truth. Now it's important that we live the truth. How about that? The Lord graciously got me to this point, and my flesh wants to leap. Family, the Apostle John tells us in 1 John chapter 4, he tells us that you're all overcomers. Each one of us are overcomers because of our faith. So own it. Receive it. Make it a part of you. My heart goes out to my brothers and sisters that walk around depressed. It's like, you know, I want this burden upon me. I want to be depressed. And I know in reality, you don't. So see yourself as the Lord Jesus sees you and loves you. Loves you so very much, and demonstrated by what we're going to talk about when we come to the table. Which one of us are going to go to the cross for another person? Oh, crucify me. I don't think so. So, family, just follow along as I read it one more time. I am a child of the Most High God. I will love him preeminently and unreservedly as he does me. I will not forget. No weapon formed against me will succeed, for I am more than a conqueror as I walk in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has anointed me, favored me, wonderfully equipped me, and empowered me to be this and to please him. You want to please him? Walk away from Ananias. Give up Sapphira. Be a Barnabas. Be who he is making you to be. You are being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. You're being transformed by the renewing of your mind through the Word. You have been consecrated. You are his prized possession. He has entered you into his royal priesthood. You are part of the holy nation he is creating. You are to walk sanctified. And as you walked in your sanctification, to be working out your salvation with fear and trembling, you are to recognize that he is at work in you. You're not a finished product. He is working in you both the will and to work for his good pleasure. And he will, not he might, he will complete it by the day of Christ Jesus. Get it? Good. Let's pray, shall we?